Yeah, that's a really powerful question.
That's a beautiful question.
That is a very wise question,
Lauren.
Hello and welcome to a mini episode of The Right Question, a radio program and podcast featuring authors from the American West and beyond. The Right Question is supported in part by Humanities Montana and members of Montana Public Radio, and by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. I'm Lauren Korn, speaking with NPR's Andrew Limbong, a reporter for NPR's Arts Desk, the host of NPR's Book of the Day podcast, the writer behind the NPR Books newsletter, and a frequent host on Life Kit. Andrew, welcome back to The Right Question.
Hey, Lauren, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Yeah, I know we're here to talk about NPR's Books We Love year-end list, but I want to start outside of that list, if that's okay.
Yeah.
You've been charged with the NPR Books newsletter, and I'd be curious to know about readership trends that you've seen this year or you are seeing this year, specific books being brought up over and over, or topics being talked about in reader responses to your newsletters.
Yeah, that's been an interesting way to get direct audience feedback. Shameless plug, it's at npr.org/newsletter/books if you want to sign up. But something interesting that I've been finding, particularly this year, is that people are really interested less in like specific books and specific titles and more in reading in general and the state of reading today. You know, anytime I'll write like a newsletter about, you know, whether it's like the falling rate of kids reading for fun, right? Or did you read that Atlantic article about how college students don't read full books?
I did, right? Read that article.
We had a lot of fun in the newsletter chatting about that. And people like are really engaged in those conversations. And I think it's saying something about the state of reading today. And you know, I'm just not quite sure what exactly.
Do you find, Andrew, that the reality the article presents rings true? Is that what you're hearing from newsletter subscribers?
I am taking that Atlantic article with a grain of salt. I feel like since the dawn of education, people have been trying to slip by on half reading the books, you know, having done that myself, you know. Sometimes you just got to write the paper having read like the first and last chapter, right? That's just what you got to do to get it done. But I don't know. I think people are obviously worried about the dominance of screens in our life, right? And how much time we're spending on our phones. That's probably the most obvious thing that feels threatening to the state of reading. A lot of the NPR Books newsletter readers, at least the ones that email in, are librarians, right? And so they email like talking about the kind of trends that they're seeing about what kids are and aren't taking out, right? Or checking out, rather. You know, obviously, like graphic novels still do gangbusters, but, you know, regular full-on books seem to not be as popular. And I think it's really interesting, especially to not be inside like a like books world bubble, right? Like, my TikTok knows that I'm interested in books, so it's feeding me people like doing like long lists and like the latest news on like what's going on in romantasy, and I get all these TikToks like you know, talking about breaking down the latest in literary fiction and who's the hot new author, da, 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 da. But I think it's the newsletter helps keep me sort of grounded as to what the actual reading field as a whole looks like, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, it does make sense. Thanks. Let's pivot from the NPR Books newsletter to this Books We Love 2024 list. If we're talking about specifics, are there any trends that seem exclusive to 2024?
Yeah, something. So this actually fits really perfectly with our conversation so far, because I do feel like a lot of the books this year are about writing, are about words, are about the power of like the written word, right? If we're talking about like fiction stuff, right? A couple of the books that I wrote about, like James, the Percival Everett book, which is a retelling of the Huck Finn story from Jim's point of view, that in a lot of ways is about the worth of knowing how to read and the worth of knowing how to write, right? And there's another book called the new Haruki Murakami book that's just out, The City and Its Uncertain Walls. You know, that is a lot about a love of like libraries, right? And there's a lot in there about writing longingly about like reading and keeping a log of history and what that does for us, right? On the nonfiction side, you know, the Salman Rushdie memoir, Knife, is obviously, it's his sort of like big final word on what happened after he was attacked, right? I think in 2022. And obviously that is a lot about the power of the written word and sort of like the trouble it can get you into, but how powerful, you know, can such a thing be that it can get you into that amount of trouble. And in a lot of ways, the new Ta-Nehisi Coates book, The Message, is about like that, this very same thing about the power of like myth making in nation building.
Andrew, one of your picks for this year's Books We Love list is Hanif Abdurraqib's There's Always This Year. Mm-hmm. It was one of my own favorites, too, by the way. What is it about Hanif's book that speaks to you, makes you love it the way that you do?
Yeah, I've been a fan of his since, like, years ago. Because he used to write a lot, or he still does, write a lot about, like, pop punk and emo.
Yep.
You know? And you know, I was always, like, a fan of his writing about, like, punk music and stuff. And, you know, ever since he's now being known for writing these, like, very deep and poetic essays about art and performance and all of that. You know, he's gotten all the awards and it's very glitzy. It's interesting to see his come up. This year's book, There's Always This Year, it's layering basketball with recollections on grief in a really tender way. I'm not the basketball head in the family. It was like my sister who played varsity and my dad was a big basketball fan. And so like seeing his relationship to the sport and him like directly laying that on top of, you know, the grief he's felt in his life, it was just like really powerful stuff. And also functionally, format wise, he uses like a countdown clock in a really interesting writerly way.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, Andrew. The book is such a tender-hearted meditation on time and aging and grief and on Columbus, Ohio, where Hanif grew up and still lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's turn to a couple of other books on the list, Andrew. You loved Sarah Manguso's Liars.
Yeah.
And Miranda July's All Fours is also on this list. These are books about women inside of and outside of their marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you, Andrew, I think it's a big one, mm-hmm. so apologies, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What does their success, the success of these particular books, say about our culture's habits and our reading habits maybe, but also about the types of stories that we're drawn to right now?
Yeah, I think people are interested in the cracks in the institutions of marriage, right? I think a lot of those, like for people who don't know, Miranda July's All Fours, it's about a woman. She leaves her husband and kid to go on a road trip, and she sort of cuts that road trip short to have like a bunch of sexual escapades, right? And Liars by Sarah Manguso is about a woman who goes through just like kind of a bad marriage. And I don't think it's a spoiler to say that, you know, they end up separating, but it's a really terse and acerbic look at what that separation can look like. People are very curious about the world outside of like the regular marriage, I think.
I know we're here to talk about 2024, but as someone who is engaging with books for their job, I'm curious if there are any books you're excited about next year in 2025.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind is it's this book by Emma Patty called Tilt. It's about a woman. She's, you know, expecting a child and she's on her way to like IKEA where like a massive earthquake happens and she sort of has to figure her way around like the state falling down, falling apart. That's what I gather from the blurb. It's been something that I've been like meaning to pick up the second I get like a day off.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me today, and happy holidays to you and yours.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot, Lauren. This is a lot of fun.
That was Andrew Limbong, a reporter for NPR's Arts Desk, the host of NPR's Book of the Day podcast, and the writer behind its books newsletter, and a frequent host on Life Kit. Look for more information about Andrew and the 2024 Books We Love compilation at npr.org. To listen to this conversation again, go to mtpr.org, where you can also listen to my conversations with many of the authors on this year's Books We Love list, including Hanif Abdurraqib, Tessa Hulls, Maxime Loskatov, and Sarah Gerard, just to name a few. You've been listening to a mini episode of The Right Question. This episode was produced by me. I'm your host, Lauren Korn. The artwork for The Right Question was designed by Molly Russell. Funding for The Right Question is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Many thanks to Humanities Montana for supporting this program since 2008. And thank you for listening. The Right Question is a production of Montana Public Radio.